Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this awesome show, on our favorite shows, man. Actually, my favorite show, Ultra Diesel Time, a.k.a. Power Talk, with your host, Darrell Hearns. How you doing? Hope y'all staying powerful, staying great, staying awesome, because that's what it's all about. Don't forget to visit ultradieseltime.com. That's ultra like the word ultra, diesel like the gas, time like what's on your watch.com. Very awesome, man. Very awesome website. Blogs, books, everything available there. And even this radio show. You can check it out all over the place. Like Blog Talk, Anchor, Spotify, all over the world, man. But let's go ahead and talk about this, man. We have an awesome guest for today. This dude's spectacular. He is a awesome comedian. He's been featured on a few of my shows, man, and people love him to death. Also an actor, featured in Netflix. Very awesome show on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out, you got to check it out. Because, you know, it's not many times in my life I meet actors and comedians. And the show's called 100 Humans, so it's on Netflix. Definitely worth checking it out just for him. There's a picture of him on Instagram waving at the camera like, hey. Pretty cool, man. It's one of my favorite people, man. Let's get them on here. Want to introduce y'all to one of my favorite people. This dude's awesome. I already gave him an introduction, but welcome to the awesome show, Ultra Diesel Time Radio, David Jackson, everybody.
Dang, man, that was a good intro. I've never had an intro like that.
Hey,
that was amazing.
Hey, man. You're an awesome dude, so hey, I got to give you a good one, sir.
Dude, I appreciate that.
But hey, Welcome to the show. I know I did a little introduction for you, but could you tell people about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a stand-up comedian from St. Louis originally, based out of Los Angeles now. As your perfect intro stated, you can also see me on 100 Humans on Netflix, which is a hilarious social experiment show. Great time to be learning about social experiments with humans right now. It's a pretty good time. But you can catch me on that. But mostly just doing stand-up on Zoom calls now, which, you know, it's crazy times.
Always interesting, man, I'll tell you. Very cool. And, you know, acting and stand-up comedy, what kind of inspired that? Like, inspired you to get into, let's say, stand-up comedy?
Sure. Well, I think I got into theater, like stage theater originally, like in high school. I did like the school plays and, you know, auditioning for that.
Oh, wow.
And when I got into like junior college and college, I just kept doing it was just live theater.
Wow.
So I guess, yeah, that's kind of where my roots were. And then, you know, as you know, I got through college, I started getting into like punching up like my speeches and my like public speaking classes. And I guess I've always been a huge fan of stand-up comedy, so one day it finally clicked, and I was like, oh, I could just do, you know, I heard about this open mic, and I was like, oh, I could just do just straight-up comedy. And I guess, you know, as I transitioned to Los Angeles, it just kind of made sense that, you know, stand-up and acting, they kind of go hand-in-hand, but stand-up, I feel like I have more control over, you know, what I'm doing in my career. You know, acting is kind of up in the air.
Very, very, very awesome. What was the first play in high school you were in?
First play in high school I did, I think it was called A Man Who Came to Dinner. The Man Who Came to Dinner was my first
okay.
play. My role was Banjo.
Banjo, wow.
Like, yeah, he's like, awesome. Basically like the jester. He always wore these like hilarious like plaid suits and like came in, you know, busted in the scene, like yelling at people. You know, just me, basically.
Didn't have to change it into character or nothing. Just be yourself. That's
yeah, it was like an old school Cosmo Kramer. Yeah.
I was gonna make that reference, but I wanted to make you look at.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Very cool. How did that? Of course, translated into comedy. I said you're very funny. I know you like to. You have an honesty with your comedy. How long did it take you to get there?
You know, thank you. First of all, it's a huge compliment. I appreciate you saying that. I guess the honesty came from, it was inspired by all of the rooms I've done over the years and how honest they were with me about whether they thought I was funny or not. So it was like, oh, I feel like I owe it to them to be just as honest back to them. And I guess they inspired me to kind of do my own, you know, what I think is funny as opposed to, you know, trying to do what I think the audience thinks is funny. So that kind of pushed me further into a more of a, you know, what I'm saying is I really, it's true to myself.
Very true to you. Okay. You think that's a very important thing in like acting and comedy or just entertainment in general?
I think right now entertainment in general, I think we're kind of got, ended up in this weird space where everyone's trying to, you know, social media and Instagram's really popular, and it's really popular to kind of post. Everyone's just trying to impress everybody else, right? Like, what do these people think are interesting or entertaining? And I feel like it's starting to focus more outward and less, you know, inward. And like, what do you actually feel? What do you actually think about? What do you actually think is funny? Why do you think it's funny? So I guess I'm just leaning away from that. I guess outward impressions, and it's really just trying to be as real as possible, man. Like I think that's the key to all avenues of entertainment, whether that's acting, comedy, you know, spoken word, all the best actors and the best performances that I've seen. Like it's all real, you know, like you can feel it.
Yeah. Very true. And that's like, gotten that a few times. Well, feedback wise from just talking to other, doing other interviews, excuse me. And they tell me like, yeah, that's very important. You know, even Richard Pryor, who's like one of the first like honest, like talk about his life comics. And it's like, yeah. And people still regard him as a legend. So I agree with you on that. That's what people call him.
Yeah. 100%.
Very awesome. Yes, sir. And with that, like, how does, you know, where you came from kind of affect your, less comedy wise and even, yeah, let's say comedy wise.
Yeah, I'd say I came from a central and southeast Missouri, and and I'm mixed. So like the black side of my family is this hood ghetto, St. Louis ghetto, and the white side of my family was basically white trash, for lack of a better term. So I kind of got the worst of both worlds in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where a lot of my comedy comes from, is just seeing the parallels between the two, and then, you know, and then my experience like growing up amongst the, you know, the middle class and other kids when you start going to college and high school, and just drawing some parallels. I think that's kind of where my comedy comes from, is just growing up in a weird kind of, I guess, weird bilateral childhood. I was, you know, the baby of 9 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baby of 9. That's, wow. That's,
oh, yeah.
Crazy, dude. Was it all around the same time, or?
No.
Like in the house at the same
time,
though?
My dad's been working at it for a long time now. So he's 72. I want to say he's going to be 72 this year. And I'm the baby, and the closest, the next up in age for me is 8 years older than me. So she's 36.
Really?
Yeah, that's my closest in age.
Wow. That's crazy.
The oldest
dude.
Is 51.
Wow, that's a gap. That's
Yeah, dude, I have nieces. I have nieces that are older than me.
No way. No way.
Way, dude.
Way, dang. You got me talking about
crazy.
West Coast right now. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man. But what's that? Like, that's awesome. Like, and it wasn't at the same time, so, like, just I'm sure that's an interesting story in itself. That's awesome. And from there, like, what made you want to go to, like, Los Angeles? Like, what kind of said that this is my dream, or was there a step beforehand, or what got you there?
You know, I think, you know, I kind of got into skateboarding when I was younger. So I guess, like, that whole, like, West Coast skater vibe, I just always had a kind of a crush on it. To begin with, and then, you know, once I got more into acting and kind of just performing, I think I was always just knew that, like, I always felt like I had a calling on the West Coast, right? Like, what? Some people feel it for the East Coast. Like, mine just, I knew I was supposed to come out West. Like, Five-O Goes West is one of my favorite movies growing up. So I just knew I knew I was about to go on a journey. And
very old.
Yeah, I was just unescapable.
Unescapable. Wow.
Unescapable.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, you do have that kind of energy. I wouldn't even take laugh at you.
Yeah, it was just I felt like I feel like it matched up, and I feel like there was just so many opportunities on the West Coast for, you know, whatever I wanted to get into, and It just felt like the right move to make, and I always have plans on, you know, eventually the plan is to be bi-coastal, so, you know, be back and forth between the East, like New York City, D.C. area, and then back, you know, back to L.A.
Okay. Nice. Have you been on the East Coast yet?
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times, just to see the city, you know, see what people are talking about with the New York City comedy scene. So I've gone a couple trips over there just to kind of, you know, fill out the vibe.
Very awesome. What was the reception like?
You know, the first time I went, it was, you know, not so welcoming as I expected it to be. Right. So it was like, it was motivation to, you know, go home, work harder, and then come back out. And then the second time I went out for comedy, I got definitely a few more laps. The first time they, you know, they sent me home with my tail between my legs.
No. Yeah, I saw it in D.C.
Good bombing. Everyone knows like has their own good, like a good bomb. But like you go to New York City, you get a good bomb like five times in a row every night. It's like, you know, I might have to rewrite something. Like it's motivating.
Oh yeah. Well, how'd you explain the whole thing? Like, where was it at? And like, what was the energy like? I know bombs are memorable, so that's why. That's why I'm sure you probably remember a little bit.
You know, I remember one specific place, and I don't know why. I chose to go. That is. You know, when I lean in, I just lean in hard. So I went to New York, and I didn't do the Brooklyn scene first. I went and immediately went to the heart of Harlem. And I did this open mic at a place called Harlem Nights. And
oh, wow.
It's exactly as you can imagine. It's, you know, in the heart of Harlem, it's all brick. It's the hard locals. And the host is super cool, super animated, black comic. Like a lot of like real like Chris Tucker vibes, right like there's black comics and there's animated black comics. This dude was like very obviously an animated black comic, and so he was super cool, and like, you know, I got there early just to kind of feel the vibe out, get on the sign up sheet a little early, and I signed up, and you know, I chatted with him for a second, and eventually the other comics showed up, and then he starts the show. And, you know, he started how I thought. He's, you know, high energy, this, that. He brings a couple comics on. And I go up and I do, you know, my my joke at the time was about a Flamin' Hot Cheetos and how I can tell what kind of community they have by the type of Cheetos they have.
Yeah.
And they were yelling. They're like, the crowd just turned on me. They were yelling. They're like, yo, get your punk ass out of here. If you don't like our Cheetos, get the fuck out. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, oh, no. Like, I was, no, you guys didn't, you guys aren't hearing me out. Let me finish the joke. It's like, and then they just weren't having it. They're just like, nah, dog. So,
really? They were,
you know,
they were with the, they weren't with the,
and that was like before, that was right towards the middle of my set. So imagine doing the rest of your set just to like squeaky chairs and moans. Ugh.
Mm.
Ugh. Like, oh man, it was a rough one.
That sounds like hell, man. I don't know. I'm glad you got out of it and you're like you're banging now, man. I said the set I saw at O'Connor's, man, that was awesome.
Every comedian has those nights. I took it in stride.
Very awesome. And with that, I mean, I know it's like a different kind of energy, I guess, with comedy and all that. How do they go together with like acting? I mean, you did explain it before, but even some of us wouldn't get it in a way. If you could make it a little simpler.
Are you asking like is it like an easy transition to go back and forth?
There you go. I appreciate you wording my questions properly. Yeah, yeah. You worded it properly. Thank you.
Yeah. No worries. I'm just trying to get. I want to make sure I answer correctly.
Of course.
I guess it's pretty. It's not hard, right? Because acting in Los Angeles or New York City, wherever you're acting, really is. It's tough. It's very. Sometimes you'll have a good week, you get 5 auditions, and sometimes you have a month and you don't get any auditions. And even if you do get a bunch of auditions, you may not be selected, you know, to even for a callback. So, you know, acting is just like an ongoing kind of grind that's just in the background. You're always doing it, you're, you know, talking to your agent, you're getting submitted, you're self submitting to your own projects, you're trying to create your own little shorts and things just to kind of just be creative and get just your name out there. And acting is just a more constant, it's like a background noise almost. So,
wow.
And stand up is more, it's, you know, I feel like I'm more control. I know a lot of comedians feel the same way. Because I can take a speaker and a microphone to a park and do stand up. Like you can't stop me from doing stand up. You can't stop another comedian from being funny. Like being funny. Funny is,
right,
you know, an involuntary response. Laughing is. So it's more sort of more validating, you know, because whenever you bomb, it's your fault. But whenever you do great, it's also your fault. And there's just so many more avenues and ways to kind of be great in comedy and have that, you know, get that fulfillment, because there are so many venues in big towns like L.A., you know, even Phoenix had a cool scene, New York City. You can just find a place, and if you can go somewhere and be funny, you're going to be able to find someone else who could, you know, maybe hook you up at a different spot or get you on stage somewhere. Like you can create opportunities to be funny, whereas in acting, it's much harder to create your own opportunities. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. And yeah, definitely. Do you think the thick skin from comedy kind of helps out in those not getting the auditions in comedy?
Oh,
acting? Dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the amount of open mics that comedians do, it's no different than doing an audition in front of, you know, 4 fucking old people that are just staring at you. That's what every open mic is. Like sometimes you're doing a comedy in front of 3 people and just, you know, you're kind of entertaining yourself at that point. And so like doing so many of those, like auditions are just, you know, a walk in the park. Nothing.
Wow. Nothing at all. Nice, man. Very awesome.
Nothing at all. Show up.
Just show up and get up there.
That's right.
Very awesome.
That's the main thing is just to show up.
Now, what's the, let's say the best because I'm not, you know, I'm not really, oh, yeah, I don't know any actors. You're actually the first actor I've interviewed on here, so appreciate you coming
on. Oh, wow,
on. There was another one. He was on OWN back when, but he just applied for it. It was like a reality TV show. I know you're like, you had to do a little bit more. Yeah.
Oh, dang, that's legit, though.
Yeah, it was. It's real. It was a cool story, and he applied, and they put him on. So he was just being him.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, for acting wise, like I know it is like, well, no. Okay, for acting wise, doing all the, I guess the auditions, doing the shows, all that kind of stuff. Is it like a, like, how do people get started, you have to say? What's the best way to get started into that kind of stuff?
It, you know, it's a, you kind of end up in a catch-22 whenever you first get started, and especially in the bigger cities, because, you know, in order to start, like, getting some traction and booking, you kind of need an agent behind you to get into any, like, auditions for things that you, that most people consider good or that matter, or like co-stars on popular television shows, or
right.
You know, maybe it's, you know, maybe even a spot in a comedy show, an agent might be able to get you. But an agent doesn't want to sign a new blank face actor with no credits. So you end up in this weird
right.
spot where it's like, well, I can't get an agent because I don't have credits, but I don't have credits because I don't have an agent. So your first like, I won't speak for everybody, but my first 2-3 years was just kind of, you know, you sign up for all your little acting websites like LA Casting and Actors Access, and you upload your headshot, and you self-submit. You basically are your own agent. So you submit yourself
wow.
to all these projects. A lot of them are student films, unpaid. You know, you make your own little stuff with your friends. You know, if you know someone with a decent camera, you kind of like put your own reel together so you can have a kind of accumulate some acting clips. You can kind of piece together and create yourself an acting reel. And then, you know, you end up doing a lot of it's called background work, where you sign up for it's this company called Central Casting. And it's like a cattle call. So it's like the first, you know, 50 or 100 people to sign up will be, you know, I was background for the show Ballers when I first got out here, the Dwayne
wow.
Johnson show.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where it's like they pay you $11.50 an hour and you're on set for 17 hours and they probably use you for a total of 20-30 minutes. So you're just, most of your day you're just sitting and doing nothing and, you know, just kind of taking note and trying to meet people while you're doing that. And that's kind of, that's roughly your first couple of years in a big city is, you know, unless you're some phenomenon or you get really lucky, it's a little bit of a grind.
Oh, wow. That's very,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's, I know, I'm,
that's,
yeah,
that's the
awesome.
Short version.
That's the summarized. So getting,
yeah.
So being proactive and knowing your craft, that's going to help you out. Getting into acting,
right?
Awesome.
Yeah. I would definitely say if there was any advice for like actors that want to just start, I would just say really get to know yourself and know like what type of acting you want to do. Like know if you want to be a comedic actor, know if you want to be like a CW soap opera actor, like on some vampire. Like know what kind of like direction you want to go in, and that'll. You know, stop you from doing a lot of work in the wrong direction, if that makes sense.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. That's awesome, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's true. Like, well, I think that's what life is in general, like knowing your mission, your goal, you know?
Oh yeah. That's deep. That's a deep cut right there.
Thanks, man. I try. I don't know.
Hey,
all right. Well,
now is the perfect time for people to figure that out. This quarantine is that's your moment. Figure it out.
Figure out that mission. Figure out your goal. Figure out, especially acting-wise, who you are. I mean, you got nothing but time. You got time to reflect on your life, see who you are, what you're working towards. Still, I didn't know you were in the back of Ballers, man. I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah,
that's
you
awesome.
Probably saw me in the background. I was in the background doing shots and partying.
Dang. You know what? You got to tell me which episode. I have to go back.
I think it was season three, I want to say.
Season three. That's so awesome, man. That's awesome, man. You're not like, you know, you're just, you know, you're like a humble dude too, man. You know, like people could talk to you. You come on these shows, the podcasts and stuff, man. Like somebody else that would have got that. I know some people that would have let it just, you know, blow them up. I was in the back of Ballers, man. What you know about me, huh?
Yeah. No,
I was
LA
was this close to the Rock.
He knew, you know, it was cool to actually to watch the Dwayne Johnson work, because you get to see like the nuances of like, you know, how he is in between like each and every take, and like, you know, how he reacts and he forgets a line, and how many times they run a scene back. You kind of get to see the, you know, the truth, the grit behind all the smoke and mirrors.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. So it's like, it's not how he sells it in the movie. He's not just always a badass. It's like, you gotta see,
you know,
the other side. Am I lying?
He's good, dude. He's not like, I wouldn't call him a diva. He definitely holds himself accountable. Like anytime he forgot a line, like he would, you know, he would yell it. He would curse at himself really loud and be like, oh, shit. I'm so sorry. You know, he apologized to everyone. We got to run this back. I'm so sorry, guys. You know, he wasn't a diva, that's for sure.
Nice. Very awesome. So that's awesome, dude. Like, that's the fact that you got to experience that. I'm sure that's something a part of the goal of where you want to be. And like, shoot, I'll give you 2 years, man, when you're doing your lead role. And stuff,
hey,
so.
I'll take that. I'm going to take that. I'll remember that. That's a blessing.
Hey, man, I'll give it to you, bro. So, hey, 2 years when you lead, and you look back and like, man, that's what this guy's been leading in many movies. He's a man, that's me.
Hey,
wow.
From that's from your mouth to God's ears, brother.
There you go, brother. I love it, man. Well, thank you for coming by. You know, I don't have any more questions. Unless you have anything to add, you know.
Yeah, dude, I'm cool. Like, you feel free to have me on whenever. This is a really good time, and I appreciate, you know, whenever I came to the Phoenix comedy scene, I was just there for a few days, but everyone there was super open. It wasn't super clicky. It was very welcoming, and so I appreciate you guys being, like, hospitable and it's kind of welcoming with me with the open arms. So I want that on the record.
Awesome. On the record, yes. Yes, that is the energy in Phoenix, so. Anybody wants to come out here and try doing comedy, man? It's beautiful. I love it. This one thing I love about Phoenix is like it's easy to get around too. I used to do I do comedy in DC. And you gotta make so many different turns and go to so many different ways to hit maybe 3 mics in one night. So I love it, man.
but no, man, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, and With that, if somebody tunes in and listens to this episode and, like, you know, they're listening to you, what do you want them to take away from this episode, from your interview?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say if you listen to this episode and you're interested in, you know, I guess a stand-up or acting, Just, I think the most important thing is to go into it with the right mindset, like to go into it knowing that you're going to have nights like my night in New York City where you get all the doors shut and you get the booze and the things people wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't dream on my enemies or wish on my enemies. And the months you're not going to get any auditions, and it's going to seem like no one's interested in you, like, Just know that that's just part of the process, and you know, stay positive, stay, you know, make sure you form good work ethic habits, like good habits on just like self-promotion and, you know, writing.
Self-promotion and writing. Very awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by. What's the best way that we can reach you? Like your social media? Do you have a website, something like that?
Yeah, you can catch me on Instagram. My handle is @OriginalDavidJackson. And on Twitter, I am @OriginalAjax. So OriginalAjax. That's on Twitter. And then, you know, I'm trying to do a little these little TikTok videos are kind of funny. I'm dabbing my foot in there. It's Original David Jackson as well, if you want to see some funny videos.
Very awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely check that out. I'll check it out as soon as we get down here. And y'all check it out, too, because this dude's funny. And y'all
definitely
y'all
check
say,
it out. And also, my show. My buddy and I, he's another comedian that we kind of started together. We do a show called Intoxication Information. And so we basically give updates on the news, and we talk about, you know, we will review like different liquors, like a malt liquor or a specialty cocktail. It's a good little comedy show.
Very awesome. Very awesome. So definitely check all those out, everybody. Thank you for coming by, David Jackson, and stay powerful, man. You're a great dude. Good positive energy, man. I love it.
Dude, thanks for having me, bro.
All right, always off. That was the awesome David Jackson, man. Check out all his social medias, his shows. Get on that TikTok, too, man. Said everything was Original David Jackson, so check him out, man. Thank y'all for listening. My name is Darrell Hearns. Thank you for listening to Power Talk, a.k.a. Ultra Diva Time Radio. And stay powerful out there, man. Stay powerful, stay great, stay awesome, because that's what it's all about. And you know what? Much love.